Coming up on podcast 1509, CATL launch a revolutionary battery, which could change the way you buy your electric car. Stick around, I'll tell you what I know. Also on the podcast today, how quickly did Citroën sell out of their off-road-looking Ami buggy? How is Toyota and Subaru doing with their first electric vehicles? And let's talk a little bit about Tesla's Made in Texas Model Y, how you can get one, but you might need to be quick on your trigger finger on the website. Well, good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are in the world. Welcome to EV News Daily, your trusted source of EV information. End of the working week, Friday 24th of June. Today, my name is Martin Lee, and I've been through every EV story in the past 24 hours and picked out 14 of the most interesting stories that I think you need to know about today, and I'll wrap them all up in 20 minutes. A lot going on, so let's crack on. The Goodwood Festival of Speed is this weekend, not far from me, down here on the South Coast. Bit of a journey for me to get to, but not too far away. And I mentioned on yesterday's podcast, if you haven't caught up with it yet or listened, a bunch of cars and vehicles going up the hill climb there, all EVs. And another one that I didn't realise was going to be there was the Kia EV6 GT. Not the GT line, but the full-blown, fire-breathing version of the Kia EV6. Now, built on the same platform, obviously, as the rest of the cars and the Hyundais and the Genesises. This one, though, has dual motor, 577 brake horsepower, 740 newton meters of torque. Perfect for the hill climb, says Kia. It'll do 0 to 62 miles an hour, that's 100 k's, in 3.5 seconds. That's crazy rapid. And a top speed of 162 miles an hour, that's 260 kph. The car also features a GT button on the steering wheel that activates GT mode, and that will optimise the motors, the braking, the steering, the suspension settings, and the stability control as well for a more dynamic drive, they say. Now, as of midday today on Friday, I went onto the Kia UK website to try and configure one, and I can still only top spec the GT line, which is very much not the GT. It's still an amazing car. It's now 55,000, or is it 52? No, it's 55,000 for the Kia EV6 GT line with the bigger battery, dual motor, which is, again, really pricey for that car, but maybe I just need to get my head around this is what cars cost these days. So I can't give you a price on the GT model or even when it's on sale. That wasn't in the press release, but I'll pop a link to the Kia press office where I found this story in the show notes. Okay, moving on. And how do you get a Texas-made Model Y from Tesla? Well, I think you have to do it kind of a little bit smoke and mirrors, actually. Tesla are expanding the availability of their Model Y made in Texas and putting it in the inventory section, not alongside the used inventory, of course, but the new inventory, which you wouldn't expect it to be. They have a bit of a problem in that if they say you can now specifically order the Texas-made Model Y, I think everybody will want that and nobody will want a Fremont-made Model Y. So how do you not Osborne your existing business? They've found a way. They're putting them in new inventory, but not announcing it. It did start at $59,990. They've given it a $2,000 price increase. So it's now marked as $61,990. It's got a 279-mile EPA range. So if you want to specifically buy the Model Y made in Texas, look at the inventory page of Tesla US and look at the range and look for that 279 number. That's how you know it's made in Texas. And it's actually a better car because it's got the magnetic center console. It's got a parcel shelf. Shock horror. A Model Y with a parcel shelf that you get on a basic 15 grand car? Yes, it comes with one. And they've put it in the inventory pages. Now, I've just checked, again, as of midday on Friday, and there are none available. They've all been sold. But I imagine they will put them in maybe once a day or whatever. I don't know how often, I'm guessing. And so it's marked as Model Y, standard range, all-wheel drive. If you do have any luck or you see one and buy one, let me know. I'd love to know. The address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Bit of an embarrassment for Toyota and Subaru. They've only just started selling their first full EV, the Toyota BZ4X and the Subaru Solterra, same car. And now they've got to take them all back. A recall has been issued. They've issued a recall on 2,700 of the Toyotas and 2,600 of the Solterras, which I presume is all of them in the world, because of a hub bolt that loosens the risk of the wheel coming off the vehicle. I don't know if that's every single one of them. It would look like it on those numbers, because I know they haven't sold too many of them, but I can't say for sure either way. And so if you have bought one of those vehicles, I'm afraid it does have to go. This is not a software over-the-air update. This is a proper recall to fix something mechanical, because let's face it, you don't want your wheel falling off on your brand new Toyota EV, although Toyota's EV plans, I could make some sort of comment about the wheels have long fallen off that project, but I won't bother. You know my feelings on them. Hey, and you know that I love the Citroën Ami, that little... It's not even a car, that quadricycle. They've got a kind of off-roady looking version. I'm sure it doesn't do anything that the original one does, but it's got chunky tyres and it hasn't got doors, but it's got aluminium tubes. It's called the Ami Buggy, and 2,000 people in France expressed an interest. They put it on sale and it went all gone in 15 minutes. Completely sold out in 15 minutes. Citroën Managing Director of the UK has previously said there's a conceivable chance that it could come to the UK if the customer interest is there, but they had to lobby hard to the French parent company to even get the regular Ami in the UK. It looks pretty cool. It's got a detachable soft top. It's got that storage behind the seats, the chunky off-road tyres, 14-inch steelies that are painted gold, and it still has a 5.5 kilowatt-hour battery, which is half the size of my home storage, so it's not very big. It'll do 46 miles and 28 miles an hour. Now, a couple of car makers, let's talk about their in-car entertainment. First up, Polestar. Polestar have added CarPlay. They'll do an over-the-air update to your Polestar 2 to add Apple CarPlay support, which is great because, as I've mentioned many times before on this podcast, I'm all in on the Apple ecosystem, apart from for content creation. So for audio and video making, I use Windows, and I always have used Windows, but for everything else, watches, phones, iPads, etc., I'm completely in Apple. And so it's important to me that a car has Apple CarPlay. I think it's very important if you're driving that you're not touching your phone. Also interesting with the Polestar, because Polestar physically use Android, not just Android, whatever that's called, is Android Automotive. That's it. Yeah, that's the full-blown, full-stack version of Android in their cars rather than Android Auto. And so adding CarPlay, is it controversial? I don't know. To have that on an Android car, it's good. It's a good thing. And also, TuneIn announcing that they're now available in Rivians. So TuneIn is fantastic for on-demand radio, sports news, you know, podcasts about electric vehicles, even podcasts about electric vehicles. Daily, I can't think of any of those, then you can now get those in your Rivian, as well as tune-ins available in Teslas and Polestars and Mercedes, Jaguar Land Rover vehicles, and anything with an Alexa support. In Germany, the finance minister is calling for the end of subsidies on electric cars. The German finance minister, Christian Lindner, has called for an end of government subsidies. Got a quote here. He said, "We simply cannot afford misguided subsidies anymore." Wowee. These cars have so far been subsidised over their lifetime of €20,000, even for top earners. This is too much. We can save billions here, which we can use more sensibly. So that's the quote from him. I would agree on the fact it's not means tested, and it's probably a bit of a blunt instrument to stimulate demand. Look, any kind of market manipulation in incentives and subsidies, as happens with the fossil fuel industry, by the way, to the tune of billions a day, yes, is always going to change a market. Whether you think that is established enough to get rid of EV subsidies, it happened last week here in the UK. They got rid of the last £1,500 off the price. And it's always been... The sticker price has been coming down here, so it hasn't been applying to expensive cars, more than 35 grand. But in Germany, again, you could argue, does somebody buying a 50, 60, 70, 80, 90,000 euro car need government subsidies? Or should we look at incentivizing car makers to make cheaper EVs and to help people buy those, you know, sub 30, sub 25 grand cars, or even to means test it or find people on some sort of, you know, benefits or income support to help those that need it the most? Well, the Association of Motor Vehicle Manufacturers, the VDIK, said abolishing subsidies is a severe breach of trust, given that car makers and buyers are counting on continued support, according to the Business Daily Handelsblatt. I'll pop a link to Clean Energy Wire, where I found this story, in the show notes, so you can read more. Headline story now, and the Chinese company CATL, the battery company, are releasing more details today of their new moduleless battery packs. They'll be mass produced next year. And in many ways, they're revolutionary because it'll change the size of the battery that you need. There's lots of things to like about this cell-to-pack technology. So no more making individual cells into modules, package them together into a battery. The cells go straight into a sometimes structural battery pack. Pedro at Push EVs, the Push EVs blog, by the way, if you love to learn a little bit about batteries, it's the best there is out there. I love his writing. He says, the volumetric cell-to-pack ratio, bear with me on this, it's a bit jargony, the volumetric cell-to-pack ratio is 72%. That's the percentage of the total battery pack volume dedicated to active material that stores energy. That's the cells, right? So that leaves the other 28% of the volume in the battery as being more passive material. Things like assembling, like protecting the cells. Let's compare that to BYD's Blade battery, which is also very highly regarded and, you know, very, very good technology. That's 62.41, 62% volumetric. This new battery, 72. CATL will use multiple metal plates between the cells, which multiplies heat transfer by 4, making the thermal management system not only very, very fast and efficient in heating or cooling. So if you want to heat up the entire battery pack in 5 minutes, on a freezing day, you can do that. And if you want to cool down the battery, which is important when you're fast charging, you can do that. That gives the battery a C rate of 4. So that would be a C rate of 4. Let me explain. If you had a, let's say, 100 kilowatt hour battery, you could charge at 400 kilowatts. But let's put that in more reasonable sizes. If you had a 60 kilowatt hour battery, which would be a reasonable size battery, LFP, by the way, a lithium iron phosphate chemistry, that would be a 240 kilowatt charge speed, peak charge rate. And at that, I think this is revolutionary, because when you get very fast charging batteries that are LFP chemistry, so they can go all the way to 100% very happily and have a great charge curve, the last piece of the jigsaw puzzle is fast chargers and that infrastructure. And that's getting there with public and private financing. And I call it revolutionary because then how much battery do you want? How much weight do you want to carry around? How much money do you want to spend on a battery? Now, for me, I think 50 or 60 kilowatt hours begins to be the sweet spot. And everyone thinks that batteries need to get bigger and bigger. But actually, if you could do, because these new battery packs, CATL will say they'll do 1,000 kilometers on the China cycle, which is about 800 kilometers on WLTP, maybe 750 on WLTP. So say that's, you know, 400 miles. You've got a reasonable 400 miles of range from a 60 kilowatt hour battery that charges very, very quickly. Well, you can drive for 300 miles, still have quarter of the pack left, charge for 10 to 15 minutes, because at a constant C rate of 4, you could go 10 to 80% in, you know, 10 minutes. That's it. That's charging literally solved. Because if you've driven 300 miles, you've got to stop for 10 minutes. As, you know, as a human being, you need to stop because either your bladder or your brain needs a break. This is amazing. It goes into production next year. And this isn't the solid state revolutionary blah, 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 that, you know, coming very soon, solid state, you know, that has been in the news for the last 10 years. That's revolutionary. This is technology now going into production. Very fast charging, very high energy density, and not massively expensive. It's a sweet spot, right? This is huge news. I think it'll go largely unreported, which is a shame, which is why I say check out the Push EVs blog, because I love it. Right, coming up very soon, Levers Turned On, we'll talk about how exports from China for Tesla are rebounding and why Rome is cutting down on electric scooters. Stick around. Those stories, they're on the way. Okay, let's talk about China considering extending their EV subsidies and tax exemptions. State TV said that shares of Chinese automakers jumped after Chinese State TV reported last night, China time, that the government is thinking of extending the tax exemptions on EV purchases. The central government considering those exemptions of about $30 billion in total, citing a state council meeting. Policies such as waiving the tax on the cars would absolutely bolster demand for electric vehicles, even stimulate the used car market as well, according to this report on the state media CCTV. Bloomberg.com writes, government subsidies introduced in 2009 to help the EV industry are already being withdrawn and are due to be phased out next year. An exemption on the 10% EV purchase tax is set to expire at the end of 2022. I'll pop a link to that story in the show notes if you'd like to read more. Tesla is driving the export of China, though. China's shipments of cars rebounded in May. EV exports were doubling as the COVID restrictions lifted. Carmakers in China shipped $1.2 billion worth of electric cars, up 122% from a year earlier, and triple the previous month in April when those factories were shut down. Tesla shipped 22,000 cars overseas last month in May after exporting 60 of them in March, and zero exports in April. The biggest market is Europe, according to Automotive News website. They say Europe took nearly half of shipments in May and three quarters of electric car exports, with the rest going to Asia. China made up almost 60% of global exports of EVs in 2021, and the trend continues this year. A link to Automotive News in the show notes. Well, the head of Polestar, Thomas Ingenlath, says that car makers may increasingly split the cost of electric vehicles from the cost of the battery, a bit like buying a laptop and then buying a bigger hard drive. He says you can imagine a scenario where you have the price of the car and the price of the battery to add on top, he told Axios. He said the customer has to be aware that at some point it doesn't make much sense to put another 100 kilometres here and 100 kilometres there in range. We are now in the 1,000-kilometre range. At some point, it gets ridiculous. Bottom line, we should look at the charging infrastructure and how you charge a car, he said. And I think a lot of car makers already do. You can often get the short range and long range. But it happens a lot in China with NIO, with their battery swapping, with battery as a service. You have the price of the car, and then a bit like buying a laptop with memory or hard drive, you say, well, do I want the 60, the 70, the 80, the 90, or the 100 kilowatt hour battery? And it gets more expensive. And so rather than, you know, with Tesla, you could always buy the long range or standard range, etc., etc. But I think this is really interesting, actually, that you can think about that battery as being a separate component. I like that. Now, Rome will cut down on electric scooters. It's a European capital that follows others in reducing the number of electric kick scooters. After Oslo reduced the number of electric scooters from 25,000 down to 8,000, Rome plans to allow only 9,000 in the future. According to electrive.com, the current limit of electric scooters in Rome is 14,500, but the city plans to reduce rental companies as well from 7 to 3 as they tighten regulations around electric kick scooters. And finally, some great news on the subject of charging. ABB, the company that makes a lot of DC fast chargers, announcing the official opening of a brand new production facility. That is in Italy, and it's the company's largest. There's a 16,000 square meter facility representing about $30 million worth of investments, as Inside EVs, and they'll make the latest ABB chargers, including the Terra 360s that charge at, well, you guessed it, 360 kilowatts. The company says the new state-of-the-art site provides a new benchmark for the sector. They will have a DC fast charger made every 20 minutes with 7 production lines, outputting 10,000 DC chargers every single year. DC fast charging business is hitting a mass scale, and it's highly needed to support mass electrification. With high output, car makers should be able to lower the price of accessing those chargers as well. Great news there. I like the ABB hardware. I find it's always very reliable. I'm using a lot of it on the GridServe network over here, and I just find it just works. I haven't used their new Terra 360 stuff yet, but otherwise, I always have a pretty good result with it. It's not the flashiest, doesn't always have the biggest screen, the whizziest graphics. But hey, as long as the chargers work and are reliable and can be updated over the air by the charging networks and et cetera, then that's got to be a good thing. Question of the week with emobilitynorway.com is taking a bit of a break for now. Email me your feedback about any story you hear, or just to say hello. The email address is hello@evnewsdaily.com. Thanks to our premium partners of the show, Phil Roberts of Electric Future at ef.energy. Hi to Brad Crosby. Hi to Porsche of the Village in Cincinnati. Audi of Cincinnati East. Volvo Cars of Cincinnati East. National Car Charging on the US mainland and Aloha Charge in Hawaii. Derek Riley from the EV Review Ireland YouTube channel. Hi to Richard at rsev.co.uk for buying and selling EVs in the UK. Jan at emobilitynorway.com. Hi to Octopus Electric Juice, making public charging simple with one card, one map and one app. And millbrookcottages.co.uk, a wonderful family-run business. They drive EVs themselves. They can't wait to see you at their five-star luxury cottages down in Devon. Thanks for listening. Have a good one. And remember, there's no such thing as a self-charging hybrid.